Our epistle lesson will also serve as our sermon text this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4, selected verses. You see, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to everyone who loved his appearing. At my first hearing, no one came to my defense, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message would be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles would hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again those words of our second lesson, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll just read verses 6 and 7 again at this time. You see, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to everyone who loved his appearing. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, how would you feel? You know you're about to die. What's more, it's not because of old age or sickness. You're going to be put to death, executed. And even more than that, it's unjustly so condemned. How do you feel? After everything I've done for you, God, this is how it ends? Really? Or what a waste. All the effort, all my life of serving you and living for you, and now this is how you're going to treat me, God. Those might be some natural responses to someone who looks to be facing the death, an unjust death, in such circumstances. But that's not how the Apostle Paul responds. We've been looking at meaningful ministry over the past few Sundays, particularly focusing on texts that speak of God's call and God's care, and God's work through his public ministers of the gospel. In this final Sunday on this subject of meaningful ministry, we see that the attitude that we can all have toward our efforts and our work as both supporters of that public ministry and as called servants of Christ in the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's it all for? Is it a waste? What if we face injustice all our life, and even if our life should come unjustly to an end because of this gospel? No, it's not a waste. In fact, look at the rich fruits of faith that come from the gospel ministry. Paul reminds us of those things as we consider today the gifts that come from the righteous judge. Ever since Paul's miraculous conversion on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul had spent his life as a called servant of Christ, devoted to that public ministry of the gospel. And what a meaningful ministry it was for Paul. But it wasn't without its challenges. In fact, you can read about all the troubles that Paul experienced in his ministry because that he was a preacher of righteousness of Christ. And as you read these, especially in the book of Corinthians, we marvel at his willingness to endure all of these troubles and hardships. Now we have arrived at what appears to be the end of Paul's earthly life, all of his ministry and his work. Even in his first letter to Timothy, he's already writing that letter in such a way as if this seems to be the end, and he's entrusting this gospel truth to a minister who will follow after him, Timothy. Now, in his second letter, which might very well be the last words that the Apostle Paul ever penned, certainly likely the last words that were ever recorded for us by him in Scripture, how does the Apostle Paul feel? Well, you read those words and they don't sound despondent. They don't seem frustrated. They don't seem to be coming from a man who feels he's coming to the end as a failure. He says, "You see, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." He knew his life was soon to be ended, unjustly. And yet this is what he says: "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Those are powerful words. Those are triumphant words. Words of confidence. Words of victory. And why? Why can the dying apostle celebrate his dying for being an apostle? Because he knows the gifts that have been given to him by the one whom he served. The righteous judge, as he calls him. First, let's consider that name that he gives to Jesus Christ, the Lord, the righteous judge. First, we're reminded that he's a judge. He's the one who determines what is right and what is wrong. He's the righteous judge, the one who makes these determinations of good and evil that are always correct and true. Well, that can be intimidating, can't it? Because, you know, unlike all the earthly judges and rulers who make mistakes and get things wrong, this one always gets it right. Yes, it's true, Paul is imprisoned unjustly, and earthly rulers make their judgments so often based on unrighteousness, and that was the case for Paul. But he was standing before the righteous judge, and he knew that though he was unjustly charged and condemned for being an apostle of this righteous judge, he knew that his courtroom was in one that was more than just some physical, civil judgment. The courtroom of this righteous judge was in a spiritual and eternal courtroom. And Paul knew himself before that one too. And he knew that he didn't stand a chance. This was the Apostle Paul who admitted himself, "I am the worst of sinners, one who doesn't even deserve to be called an apostle. And yet I stand before that righteous judge who makes perfect and right judgments." Yes, Paul knew, as we know as well, when we're honest, no matter how hard we've tried in this life to do what is right, how mightily we've fought the good fight for good, for justice, we ourselves have failed that again and again. We are unrighteous. We are sinners. And that one is the righteous judge who always gets the judgment right. Well, that can be intimidating, can't it? But there's more to this righteous judge than just the righteousness that he demands of us. It isn't just the righteousness that he has as a judge. He's also the righteous judge because he's the one who gives the gift of righteousness to those who believe in him. You see, that one already had been poured out like a drink offering too. Even though he was perfectly right, unjustly he was condemned in the court of man. And yes, unjustly there in man's court, he died. But he didn't die unjustly in God's court. That judgment against that righteous judge, Jesus Christ, was a right judgment in God's court too. The judgment against the Lord, this righteous judge, Jesus Christ, was perfect and right because he was the Lamb of God who was bearing the sins of the world. The sins of Paul, your sins and my sins. Yes, that judgment against him to death was right because that righteous judge died for you, so that he could be not the one who just makes right judgments, but the very one who gives righteousness to those who believe in him. That's why Paul is not despondent or frustrated or defeated. Instead, he's filled with joy and confidence in the gifts that come from this righteous judge. He goes on, "From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give it to me on that day. And not only to me, but to everyone who loved his appearing." Did you hear that from the Apostle Paul? Yes, he has this crown of righteousness and he knows it as a gift from this righteous judge. Something he didn't earn, but something that was given to him freely for Jesus' sake. But there's more for Paul. The dying minister, looking at his meaningful ministry, it was not for nothing. Look at the fruits that he speaks about. Not only to me, but also to everyone who loved his appearing. Everyone to whom he pointed, Paul pointed in his ministry, everyone to whom he pointed to that righteous judge, every one of them who looked for his appearing, who loved when he came to be their Savior, everyone who believed in him also received that crown of righteousness. That gift was for him and also for all who believe in the word that he proclaimed. And that gift made all of his sufferings worth it, as the righteous judge reserves that crown of righteousness, a gift for him and all those who believed his preaching. But there were still more frustrations for Paul in his life. In fact, he felt like he was on an island all alone. Even as he said those words about all those who loved Jesus appearing, he had to say this about so many people too. As he felt like he was alone dying a martyr's death, he writes to Timothy, "At my first hearing, no one came to my defense, but everyone deserted me." How difficult it is to give your life for Christ. But to give your life for Christ feeling all alone, like everyone else has left you, no one to stand by your side, no one to come to your defense. How Paul must have felt abandoned, deserted, alone. Just think of all those many people that Paul had the opportunity to share that crown of righteousness with. How many people, even there in that place of Rome where he was being held, knew his hope? Knew their hope of eternal life and joy in heaven to come through the merits and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yet no one was there to support him. No one came to his defense. No one stood beside him. And yet Paul wasn't bitter, because he knew the gifts that come from this righteous judge. Instead, with a forgiving spirit, the spirit that God inspired in him because of the perfect righteousness that had forgiven him all of his sins and failings, he said this about them, "May it not be counted against them." Yes, just as none of Paul's failures and sins against God were counted against him, just as all of his sins had been washed away and he was made perfectly clean and new and holy and perfect in the blood of Christ and by the righteousness and forgiveness that Christ had won for him, so even the sins against Paul in this way were forgiven by him too. But actually, Paul wasn't standing alone, even in that. Another gift of the righteous judge is that that righteous judge stood beside Paul through every trial and every hardship too. And he stands beside us through every trial that we face too. Paul says, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message would be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles would hear it." Think of the comfort in those words, in that truth. Even if everyone else had deserted him, who stood by Paul? The judge. The one who determines right and wrong. The one who is in control of all things, who commands all things, who determines all things, who makes the judgment, and it is final. The Lord. No matter what Paul faced, no matter how alone he felt, the Lord is and always would be beside him through it all. And Paul says about that one strengthened him to face whatever crosses he would be called to carry. Friend, that gift of God, the righteous judge, is yours too. What crosses does he press down upon you in this life? Perhaps you're not on trial in your life for the name of Christ, literally. But maybe you've borne crosses because of that name of Christ. Mockery as a Christian? Criticism of Christianity? You believe that? Maybe you've even missed out on opportunities that you might have had otherwise because of that name. Maybe you were overlooked because you were a believer for a position. Whatever cross you carry those crosses and those trials with someone beside you. Christ, the Lord, the righteous judge, who stands right beside you. Yes, the very one who carried the greatest cross that you ever had to bear in this life. No, you didn't have to bear it, because he bore it for you in your place. He took your sins away. That one stands right beside you as you carry all of the crosses and sufferings that you face in this life. What a gift of God from the righteous judge to strengthen you in the midst of them, so that you can say with the Apostle Paul in every cross, "But the Lord stood beside me and strengthened me." What a gift from the righteous judge. So are we through with those gifts that the righteous judge gives? No. There's even more. He doesn't just stand beside us in the midst of evil as we endure the cross. No, he delivers us from those crosses too. He promised it. He commanded us to pray this when he said, told us to pray, "Deliver us from evil." And he always keeps that promise. Paul said, "And I was rescued from the lion's mouth." From the lion's mouth? But he's about to go into the lion's mouth. We don't know exactly how it was that the Apostle Paul died. But there were Christians being thrown to lions because of their faith. Very really and literally. How was he rescued from that? How was he delivered from that evil? The Apostle Paul understood that when we die a believer's death, that's when God ultimately answers that prayer, "Deliver us from evil." Because he knows that the greatest lion that we face is not some lion's den like Daniel had to face, or the lions that Christians were thrown to in the Colosseum. No, the greatest lion that we face is that one who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, not just our flesh, but our soul, to condemn us in hell with him for all eternity. But not Paul, and not you, and not me. No, because by death, God delivers us from all evil that threatens our soul, our eternal well-being. And through that death, physical death, he bears us safely to his heavenly kingdom. And there is where that righteous judge rules over us and all things perfectly in bliss and joy forever for us to see in that church triumphant. And friends, that heaven is yours too, even in the midst of crosses that you face on earth. You can look through those crosses. You can look past those crosses into that bliss to come. Even if you're mourning over one who has died in the Lord, you can be filled with joy for them that God has delivered them from that lion's mouth and brought them safely to his heavenly kingdom. And what is more, God is giving you the courage and the strength to continue to escape those jaws of the devil as he strengthens you with power from that righteous judge, who in his good time will deliver you too. And so, as the Apostle Paul says, we take that as well for our confidence. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. So how did the Apostle Paul feel? Dying? Abandoned? Alone? Defeated? No. He was blessed with the gifts that had been given to him by the righteous judge, his Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, we can feel that way too. For his called workers, what a blessed and meaningful ministry that is for us. And for those who support that blessed, meaningful ministry, to be able to encourage people with as they carry out that blessed ministry, what a blessing for you too. For all of us, his people. What confidence we have as we rejoice in our righteous judge and the gifts that he gives. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.